He's a millennial. Try not to hold it against him. Rob Sussman on Delaware 105.9.
So House Bill 110 would legalize marijuana in the state of Delaware for recreational use. However, there's something else about it that's not rubbing everybody the right way. It bizarrely doesn't allow people to grow their own weed. HB 110. There are things that are in the way in House Bill 110 that are causing some advocates to say, you know, maybe this thing isn't exactly the best idea. I'm joined now by Sam Chick, who is the owner of a now you had a very specific term for it, Sam. Bring that down.
Cool. Thanks for having me on. Really,
absolutely, Sam.
It.
Thank you.
We have a variety of products, but we're a hemp store, smoke shop, and vape shop.
Okay.
And hopefully, at some point down the line, a full cannabis shop,
yeah, not just a hemp shop. Now, when you say
do some other cool stuff. Maybe they'll let us have a patio in the back. Maybe we'll be able to.
Okay. Yeah, so you have some ideas. You have some the entrepreneur in you is thinking.
100%. This is, right. We have bars. We have social places.
Sure.
I mean, we just going to say, you know, let's end it, but now you're not going to give anywhere a place that they can go
to actually partake.
That's right. In Colorado now, they're letting, if, you know, certain places who allow it, the property or property establishment, they allow them to have it there. So it's interesting. It's coming along.
Once again, we're on with Sam Chick. He's the owner of a hemp/vape/smoke shop in Dover, and also a member of the Delcana Cannabis Advocacy Group in the state of Delaware. Now, HB 110, I've noticed you making the rounds on a couple of other media outlets talking about issues with HB 110. I want to know from you right now, would you like HB 110 to pass?
As written, no.
Really? Okay.
No, yeah, as written, no. And the reason that is, once this passes, right now there is a lot of political pressure to get this done. Maybe, you know, there will be much more next year because there's elections.
Yeah.
But right now there's political pressure to get it done. You have a lot of, especially Newcastle County politicians who want to see this happen.
Yeah.
So there's some who are taking this opportunity to say, hey, let's try to sneak some kind of deal in here. But the Newcastle County politicians, they really want, before the 2020 elections, they really want to see this pass because they don't want to have to go to their voters and explain why, hey,
they didn't pass
legal
weed.
That's right. Oh, we didn't pass it because, well, you know, how's this going to sound? Well, we didn't pass it because, well, we put a bill up, but people wouldn't vote for it because we wouldn't let people grow, and we were going to set up a monopoly, and we're going to only make it for a connected few, like, you know, these huge out-of-state corporations. That's who runs the cannabis business here now.
Well, yeah, wasn't the parent company of Marlboro looking to get into weed?
That's right. That's right.
And
there's
Philip
nothing,
Morris?
There's nothing wrong with free enterprise as long as everybody has the opportunity to compete.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Coca-Cola just made $1 billion investment in Canada.
For
cannabis.
Really?
That's right. Yeah, they want to make drinks.
Coca-Cola wants to make.
That's right.
Marijuana-infused beverages.
I mean, they're getting back to the roots, I guess.
I guess so. No, they haven't put drugs in their soda for 100 years.
Sure they do. They do today. They put caffeine in there. That's one drug.
That's true.
Absolutely. We have, you know, you ever seen these beanheads around in all these coffee shops?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're in there all the time.
No,
you know,
that's true.
Every morning, they got to get their fix.
Beanheads.
Yeah, beanheads.
Yeah,
man.
No idea what you're talking about.
You know, the coffee.
As I take a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
My coffee.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so HB 110, it has problems. What would you say is the biggest one of them all?
Well, there isn't just one biggest problem. The biggest problem is lack of freedom. It's not legalization. This is not legalization.
Right.
We can call it maybe corporatization. Of cannabis, you know, that would be a fine term, because if you can't have more than an ounce, it's a misdemeanor if you have more than an ounce. It's a felony if you have more than 5 ounces. It's a felony if you grow a plant.
Right.
And meanwhile, these select few corporations are going to be able to make millions and millions of dollars off it. That's not legalization.
Right.
That's not freedom.
We're on with Sam Chick, who is a advocate for pro-marijuana advocate in the state of Delaware. Want to know what you think about the legalization of marijuana in the state of Delaware. 839-1059, talk or text if you got a question for Sam. Now, the drug issue here, we've had a lot of people on my segment Newsmaker Monday in the past 2 weeks or so. We had State Senator Brian Pettyjohn, and we had as well. Oh my goodness! How am I getting this wrong? Ernie Lopez, State Senator Ernie Lopez. I'm like, I know that there's an E. I know that there's an L. We had State Senator Ernie Lopez on as well, and Pete Schwarzkopf very famously said that he is against this legalization effort. Have you had conversations with these gentlemen?
So with Senator Pettyjohn and Senator Lopez, yes. Yeah. Senator Lopez, not as recently. Senator Pettyjohn, though. So he is still in the no camp, but I have a feeling that if this doesn't go through this year, he will get enough contact from farmers and from just regular people down in his area that may make him rethink that.
Right.
Because it's not about whether you agree with it or not personally. Alcohol. You may not like alcohol, but you understand that other people in this country have the freedom to use that.
To drink.
That's right. Exactly. Absolutely. And it goes the same with cannabis. So we need to make sure, especially, Senator Pettyjohn and Senator Lopez and every other Republican, they need to be involved to make sure that the interests of small businesses, the interests of farmers, and the interests of regular people are protected.
We're going to go to the phones here. This is Weed Patrol. We love Weed Patrol, one of our regular callers, Weed Patrol. Hello, Weed Patrol. What's going on?
Hey, I'm just wondering what he would advise the people that really want it to be legalized to do. What is our best course of action so that Delawareans can have this freedom and that we can also regulate it and tax it?
So right now, we're kind of at a little bit of a roadblock because the one main man for this deal who introduced this bill is refusing to negotiate. Says no amendments whatsoever. He's been open in the past, and now I just saw him again, and he says nope. So we really need to contact Representative Ed Oshinsky. That is everybody who is listening to this. Contact Representative Ed Oshinsky and say, listen, Ed, we have these cannabis freedom amendments. This is going to make it good for regular people. We will get Republicans on board with this, and we'll have the votes to pass it. So please come to the table and negotiate, because, you can't say you're for legalization and then say it's illegal for someone to grow it. You can't say you're for legalization and then cut out all these small businesses. You have all these like liquor stores and tobacco shops. They're 21 plus. They should be able to sell it. The liquor stores, especially, they're going to lose out on like 7 to 10% of their business when this is legalized. So it would not be fair if they couldn't compete. That's the message.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. Again, Representative Ed Oshinsky, contact him. You can find his information online.
Yeah, it's on the website. Here's a question I have. You just said something interesting. You said that liquor stores could lose 7 to 10% of their business.
That's right. That's what happens in sales. Alcohol sales go down by about 7 to 10% in legal states because of a substitution effect. So you have people that, cannabis wasn't available before, so now they're substituting. Instead of alcohol, they're using cannabis. So, and then you also have, I think there's a good amount of, people don't abuse it as much. So, because if you're getting, you have a buzz and you get high, maybe you're not going to take it to the next level with your drinking.
So you're saying that people get cross-faded and that makes them want to drink less?
Perhaps. I don't know. I'm just saying sales fall, alcohol sales fall 7 to 10%. So shouldn't liquor stores have the opportunity to make up for those sales by selling cannabis, by selling weed?
Right.
They're already selling tobacco. They should be able to sell weed. They already comply with all the laws that are 21 plus. They use the same exact agency will be enforcing this. So we're not adding any extra enforcement by letting these guys sell it. They're already being visited by the agents. They're already under the weed card program. They already pay taxes to the same exact people.
Right.
So they know how to do
it. Right.
And they would integrate so nicely into our community without having people don't want to see like a million little pot shops all over the place. Well, then just let it. So liquor stores.
I mean, you already have a million little liquor stores.
Well, exactly. Well, that's exactly right. So you let those guys get it. They're small business people. Let them get in. It's just not fair. I mean, that's the bottom line. How can anybody say that HB 110 is fair to small business? You can't. It will completely cut them out.
In this current bill, there's only what, 10, 15 licenses that are going to be?
15 retail licenses in the entire state.
Right.
And the existing companies get preference. Okay.
Now, when you say the existing companies,
there are
get
three
preference.
Existing cannabis companies in Delaware. They have a monopoly on the medical cannabis system.
Right.
That's the bottom line here. We do not want a repeat of the medical system. Passed that in 2011.
Right.
8 years later.
Right.
No home grow. We only have three companies in the entire state. The prices they charge, frankly, it's, you know, I feel bad for the patients because they're getting ripped off.
Right.
They're being charged 2 to 3 times what they should be.
Now, once again, we're on with Sam Chick. He is a activist for legal marijuana here in the state of Delaware. I want your thoughts on legal marijuana in the state of Delaware, 302-839-1059, talk or text. When we come back, go ahead.
Well, I was
going
to say, we have these cannabis freedom amendments. That's if you're just contacting your legislators, besides getting Ed Oshinsky to come to the table and accept these cannabis freedom amendments, contact your own legislator. It's the cannabis freedom amendments. And we have Senator Del Colo, we have Representative Bennett, we have some Republicans. Hopefully one will get back to me here in the next, before tonight, and let me know that they're ready to introduce it. And we're going to have these things in, and we can get it done. They have till June 30th, so we have a very good opportunity, but we need everybody to come together. Let's do it in the true spirit of the Delaware way and not have some kind of corrupt deal. Let's come together and do something good for the people of Delaware.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you, why is it that no Sussex County legislator is for this bill? That's what I'm going to ask you when we
good
come
question.
Back. You've had conversations with them. I have too. We're going to talk about that here coming up. All right. In the meantime, I want to hear from you at 839-1059, talk or text. We're on with Sam Chick from Delcana. Would you like HB 110 to pass? Would you like to see legal marijuana in the state of Delaware? Rob Sussman on Delaware 105.9.
Like Rob Sussman on Facebook. Facebook.com/RobSussRadio.
We're talking about marijuana legalization in the state. I'm on with Sam Chick from Delcana. Sam, once again, thanks for coming on with
thanks
me today.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Now, we've been talking about HB 110, this marijuana legalization bill, and the problems that it has that actually made you, at the very beginning of our conversation in the last segment, mention that as it stands right now, you would not want HB 110 to pass.
That's correct. And it doesn't have the votes to pass right now either. There's enough. There are legislators who want to see cannabis legalization. They want to see an end to cannabis prohibition. But that's not what HB 110 is right now without the cannabis freedom amendments. So they'll vote against it as well. I mean, it's unfortunate, but unless we get actual true cannabis reform, you know, what's the point? This doesn't really change anything except give a few corporations this monopoly.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it's just not fair. And on top of that, once this thing passes, that's the other thing. Once this passes, there will be no popular will and no political will to change things. We will be stuck with it forever. Just like 80 years ago, we have an alcohol distribution monopoly in Delaware as well. There's a very structured system here. If you're a bar, you can't go buy directly from the brewery or distillery, things like that, which is silly. It's unfortunate.
Also can't get it in gas stations, grocery stores.
And that's right, because there are special interests now. They have an economic privilege. So, you know, they are lobbying hard against those things. They don't ever want to see that happen. They don't want to see more licenses. They want to see the market open up. You know, and that's what will happen to cannabis if we do this.
Right.
So that's why it's so important to get it right. You know, and that's the appeal that we have to principled legislators, ones who want to protect regular people and protect businesses in Delaware. I mean, because if we do it the way HB 110 is, you know, you'll be able to work for the companies, but, you know, nobody here is going to own them. It's going to be owned by Wall Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Philip Morris.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we just mentioned that, you know, one of the main groups that was lobbying for the prohibition of marijuana however many years ago, is now saying, I think I smell some money in the air. I smell a different kind of green, so to speak.
That's right.
I think I'm going to try to cash in on this. Yeah, no, there you go. Tom on the text line says, Rob, we are already lower, slower Delaware. If we start smoking pot, we may start walking backwards. is what Tom says.
Pretty good.
At 839.
Well, I would advise Tom to take a poll of his neighbors, an honest poll, and I guarantee that he would find out that quite a few of them are cannabis consumers right now, and they're good, honest, responsible people, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how they choose to indulge. Or medicate themselves.
That's also true. We have a number of people,
which is, frankly, there's one school of thought that all cannabis use is therapeutic.
Therapeutic in some way, shape, or form. The one thing that I've noticed, and in all of these discussions that we've been having about the legalization of marijuana in the state of Delaware, is there is one group that appears to be a consistent no vote, and it stretches across party lines, and that is Sussex County representation. Our state representatives and our state senators, from Pete Schwarzkopf to Ernie Lopez, are all definitive no votes on this issue. Why do you think that is?
I think that's what they think their constituents want. In some cases, I think that they let their personal opinions get in the way. In other cases, we're a mix of the two. That's really what it comes down to. Speaker Schwarzkopf, for example, he needs to put aside that he was a state trooper for X number of years and had prosecuted people for this. He needs to just put that aside and say, this is for the good of Delaware, and I'm going to step forward and do this. And that's what the people in his district deserve as well, because I can guarantee if you took a poll of that district that they would be for it. So,
in his constituency, absolutely.
And then out there in the rest of Sussex County as well.
Right.
Absolutely. Oh, there's a lot of good farm boys. There's a lot of good people out there who use cannabis. There's a lot of people out there who don't use cannabis, but they understand that this is America and you are free to do as you please as long as you're not harming somebody else.
I'm
going to
run a couple things by you that I hear very often from some of this legislative representation. The first one is, in fact, this one was from Pete Schwarzkopf, the risk of overdose.
The risk of overdose.
Yes, he says that, in fact, I believe that I have the exact quote here from Pete Schwarzkopf regarding marijuana. He had said that, I'm told that the effect from edibles, in particular, takes a while to come on. People don't feel anything and then they eat more, but then when it does kick in, they're already moving into overdose mode and they end up in the emergency room with psychotic breaks. That means breaks with reality. That doesn't sound good or safe to me. That's what Pete Schwarzkopf said. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, in the just overdose in general, I mean, I think he's using it in a different way. But to overdose, like a fatal overdose, you're talking about it that way, that's not possible with cannabis. It's never been medically recorded. It happens with other things. It doesn't happen with cannabis. Now, what he's talking about where somebody might take too much and, it's too much for them to handle. First of all, anybody who is going to use cannabis, understand that you're in control at all times. There is never any time that you'll be out of control. And if you start feeling that way, just go lay down on the couch, take a breather, close your eyes, take a nap. And then you'll wake up and you'll be perfectly fine.
No psychotic breaks.
No psychotic breaks.
The other one that I've heard from a number of people, including, and this I believe came directly from the mouth of Jesse Vanderwin, who is another state representative here in Sussex County. And that is that this sort of legislation would require us to build more rehab centers across Sussex County because of substance abuse and addiction. What do you think about that?
I think that's totally ludicrous. There are tons of cannabis consumers right now. They're not being treated for cannabis addiction unless they're forced to go through it by the state as a condition of probation and parole, which is a huge thing and a huge waste of money, by the way. Sends so many people back through the system for having a hot urinalysis, for cannabis, and it wastes so much money. Imagine that. It's like, oh, you just spent 12 months in probation. Now you go back.
Right, we're going
to waste another 12 months on you just because you smoked a little weed. You know, which for a lot of these guys is a good thing. Maybe they have tempers anyway. And if they're, you know, some guys who've been getting into trouble, so maybe smoking a little cannabis or using an edible or a tincture or however they might take it is a good thing because it helps them relax and calm down. And wouldn't that be a great thing?
Yeah, I think for the most part, that's probably true. You know, would you say that addiction in and of itself is an issue with marijuana?
It can be, just like it can be with anything like television, gambling, eating. People can get habitually addicted. People can get addicted to the things that they like and overindulge. So it's something that people, you know, should definitely be aware of, just like you are with alcohol, just like you are with anything else, you know, in your life. Use moderation. And if you, you know, don't abuse things, because just like anything else, if you, you know, if all you sit around and do is smoke pot all day 24/7, well, that's not a productive life.
Well, no,
you know, but neither is sitting around watching soap operas and on the couch, right?
You probably have more problems than just smoking a ton of weed.
That's right. That is not the cause of the problem. That's a symptom. You know, probably there's maybe some kind of deeper thing, depression or, you know, some kind of psychological condition.
That's without a doubt. By the way, it is Susan Martin Day here on Delaware 105.9. So give Susan Martin a call or text wishing her a happy day. We're on with Sam Chick from Delcana. We're talking about the legalization of marijuana in Delaware. We're talking about HB 110. Taking your calls, 839-1059, talk or text. Would you like to see marijuana legalized in the state of Delaware? That's what we want to know here on Delaware 105.9.
9.
Would you like to see legal marijuana in the state of Delaware? 839-1059.
He's a millennial. Try not to hold it against him. Rob Sussman on Delaware 105.9.
We're talking about HB 110. We're on with Sam Chick from Delcana, who is also a small business owner who works in this industry. And honestly, I mean, let's be 100% real. You do have a personal financial interest in seeing this
pass. I have a vested interest. Right. I do not try to hide that at all. I am a capitalist. I'm an entrepreneur. I love America. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's like cannabis. This is a brand new market, and we can have an awesome thing. Agriculture is Delaware's number one private sector. This can be a huge crop for Delaware's farmers. This can be a huge economic opportunity for Delaware's businesses. And it's not just like, you know, we'll start, you know, people talking about compromise. We've already compromised. You know, these cannabis freedom amendments, that's the compromise already, okay? The fact that there's even a limit on the number of plants you can have, that's a compromise. You should be like, for example, Florida, the medical law in Florida. You can just have there's no possession limit. You know, you just have as much as you want.
You just carry around bricks.
You know, just like alcohol. Well, no, people don't do that. Most people don't do
but
that.
But you could.
But you could. Like alcohol, you could have a bunch of kegs. You know, as long as you're not selling it, boom. You know, alcohol, you can have an entire cellar filled with wine. You can have a full wet bar in your living room and a kegerator in the garage, and that's perfectly fine.
It's totally allowed because this is America.
That's right.
Let's go to Jerry in Middletown. Jerry, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right.
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
And here's where I'm coming from. You know, I run a supermarket. In my lifetime, I have picked up 5 digits that were cut off on a bandsaw, not once, but twice. And had to put them in ice, make sure the guy didn't bleed to death before the ambulance car came.
Well, that's
and
pretty hardcore.
In both cases, they were on marijuana.
People coming to work high and getting their fingers cut off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How many people? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many people came in drunk and did that?
We've had people who were drunk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can actually tell you that I had a guy who went to rehab.
So what you're telling us is that it doesn't matter that it was illegal. Somebody still came in high and cut their fingers off, even though it's illegal.
You wouldn't know the guy was drunk. To be perfectly honest, he was a functioning alcoholic. We didn't realize it till we went to a rehab.
Right.
Nobody did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's besides the point. Insurance would go up, and I know it's already had gone up in places like Colorado. Auto insurance doubled. liability insurance.
I don't know that that's true.
I do know it's true because I read it, and I can cite you the source.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, now, what? Now, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Like, go up at all?
I haven't, but I'd be very interested in looking at that. Yeah, absolutely, because those are, you know, there are legitimate. Yeah, Jerry's right. There's legitimate concerns here. You know, but it's again, people are already doing the right thing. How do you test somebody right now when you think they're high and they're on the bandsaw?
Yeah. Do you test anybody right now?
Pardon me?
Do you test anybody right now, like when they come into work? I mean,
no.
I would say if I was like an equipment, you know, you're not gonna lose your rights as an employer, and you're not gonna lose your rights as a business with cannabis legalization. Okay, you should when you hire somebody, if you're
right,
if you're a machine operator, if you all right, brother, if you operate a machine shop, then you should have your employees sign an agreement. If that you're concerned about that, then have them sign an agreement that they're not gonna use cannabis. And that will be that, if that's your concern.
Yes, on first place, they're unionized.
Well, then you got to negotiate with the union.
They're not going to sign it. Yeah, we have. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want people around me that are high on anything. But, you know, I'm not a cop. I'm not going to sit there and give breathalyzers in the morning for people. No. And I'm going to tell you, as far as I know, there's no test that a police officer can administer to somebody who's driving high.
Well, the test that they use for that, so they use the field sobriety test, is the same thing that we've used for years. It's the same thing they use for, you know, prescription opioids is a huge problem. Opioid drug driving.
Am I right in my assumption, and I've read about this, there's no such thing as a breathalyzer for somebody high on marijuana.
Right, just like there's no such thing as a breathalyzer for someone high on opioids or any other drug besides alcohol.
Yeah, we've had those problems too.
I mean, like that's
currently an issue. That's
I would
right.
say that that's probably one. I would say that might be more of an issue than weed.
Yeah,
so far as like heroin.
Read it in the news every day, somebody falling asleep
right.
at the wheel.
They'll put you straight out. It'll put, knock you clean out on your butt. Jerry, great call. Thanks, man. Really appreciate your call.
And really, legitimate concerns, good questions.
No, that wasn't, yeah.
But absolutely. It's, you know, first of all, don't be afraid. People are already out there doing it. And most people in our society are responsible people and do the right thing. So do not be afraid of giving your fellow people a little freedom.
We're talking about the legalization of marijuana in Delaware. We got Bill on the line. He's on Route 24. Bill, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hanging in there, Bill. What's going on?
Not much. Absolutely.
Hey, Bill, you're cutting out there a little bit. I'm going to put you on hold, and Mr. Phones will get with you here in a second, see if he can't help you out with your connection issues here. We got a couple other text messages here, and before we get to those, we did talk a little bit about the law enforcement thing. Have you talked to any people at, say, Delaware State Police about the legalization effort here?
Just in the hallways, but they put out, for me, there's not much of a reason to go talk to them directly because they put their statements out and there's really nothing that anybody will ever be able to do to get them to say something different. So that's going to be their position until it changes, and then they'll enforce the law as written.
Right.
And that's what their job is.
Right.
So they're very professional about that. But right now, I don't believe there's anything that anybody could say. Now, we do have former law enforcement, a lot of them who are, you know, have come out in favor of this. But you just have to understand that if you're working for the man, then there's certain things that you're tied to, and that which one of them is the what the law is.
We are going to go back to Bill here on Route 24. Bill, are you with us now?
Let's try it again.
All right, now I can hear you much better. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, not bad. I'm a drinker. I'm out in the bars. I got to say, when I talk to your typical cop on the street, they're like, you know, yeah, we don't really care about marijuana. They don't want to give up the right to search you because of the smell. And I got to say, it's the only drug that you can stumble upon. You can't stumble over heroin by the smell or stumble over some cocaine, but you can stumble over other drugs because you stumbled upon the smell of marijuana and you use that to search somebody's car. So
right.
I see lower level cops don't, you know, really want to enforce that, but your 3 and 4 stripers, the ones that are dealing with budgetary concerns, those are the ones that make the statements and those are the ones that are against it. You know, it's a budgetary concern with them.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, well, that definitely could be because, you know, you get court fees, you get fines,
and so forth.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, they issue these. Sam, they get money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Marijuana. So if you're like, let's get rid of marijuana enforcement, they're right away going, whoa, you're going to drop our budget. See, I'm not really into dropping their budget. I just say that the only law should be busting people for the illegal sale of marijuana. I'm a grow guy. I don't really care if anybody buys any weed ever, but everybody should grow. And then, you know, you're worried about edibles. Why are you still worried about starting a complete market that sells edibles? If you just legalized the plant and made people grow their own plant, a lot less people would have edibles. It's not easy to grow high-quality marijuana. I've been growing pot for a long time. It's not easy.
Right on, Bill.
Well, Bill, you know, I think you bring up an interesting point, especially in regard. I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about the fact that marijuana is so often used as, reasonable suspicion.
Yeah, that it is, and they do rake in a decent amount every year from those fines as well. It's $100 a ticket, plus court costs, et cetera.
Yeah.
So they do rake in a decent amount from that, but that's not a reason to keep something illegal. You know, that's strictly law enforcement. One of the reasons, yet another reason, just like Bill said, while the administration and law enforcement is going to be against us because they know that, you know, how are they going to make that money?
Well, when I hear Bill, I hear an excellent argument for the legalization of marijuana in the state of Delaware, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they are going to make a decent amount of tax money on this. So what law enforcement loses because of a lack of fines is going to be made up in the tax revenue.
Have they talked about where tax revenue for this would go? Have they talked about that?
No, it'll just be in the general fund, and that's good. That's the way it should be. We don't really...
Not earmarking.
No, that's bad. That's bad legislation. Do that because basically it just ties your hands in the future, and we don't want a lot of little silos. It just is not good for the future. It's not a good way to set it up. Just leave it for the general fund, and then the General Assembly's job every year is to decide how to spend that money, you know, and they spend a long time hashing that out. So it's we don't need to add another complication to that.
Let's go to Bunny in Seaford. Bunny, hello.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Bunny. How are you?
I'm good. My regards to your mom.
Thank you. This is Bunny. We're in Rotary together.
Ah, okay. All right. So you know each other. Bunny, what's going on? What do you think about this?
Okay. I have a customer, and they are working with a company in Canada. You can look it up on the internet. It's Cannabis Technologies. And they are working on a handheld device. And they're getting very close. They've been doing doing trials on it. This device will be able to tell you if a person has smoked marijuana within the last 2 hours.
Oh wow! I've heard
that would be a game changer.
It absolutely would. And there are several. I know there are several companies out there that are working on that because they know that's a huge. You know, that's a huge market. So is that something that you guys are producing for part of that device?
No, they're just my customers. But they're principals in this. If you want to look at the stock, it's BLOZF.
BLOZF.
Like the day that it became legal in California, that stock spiked. But
yeah, I believe that. If they are, if they can actually pull that off, then they will get a lot of contracts, government contracts. You can guarantee that.
It's settled down over time, but I know that they're very close, and I think, you know, just think about it. It's good for the workplace. It's good for the highways.
Right.
It's good for horse racing, auto racing, all sorts of sports.
Now, have you been listening, Bunny?
Pardon?
Have you been listening into the show here?
I have.
Okay. Let me ask you, what's your opinion? Do you think that small businesses should be cut out of this deal and farmers, or we should open it up for everybody?
Oh, you know me. I'm a free trader.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Please let your representatives know. You might not agree with it personally, but if we're going to do it, let's do it the right way.
Bunny, thank you so much for your call. When we come back, I'm actually going to keep Pete on for a little bit longer because there is something else that I wanted to ask in regards to the marijuana thing. Bunny, great call. Thank you so much. 302-839-1059. Talk or text on the Delmarva Allstate agent Paul Sarnak talk or text line. My name's Rob Sussman, along with Sam Chick from Delicana. Looking for your calls, your texts on the Delmarva Allstate agent Paul Sarnak talk or text line.
He's a millennial. Try not to hold it against him. Rob Sussman on Delaware 105.9.
All right, we're on with Sam Chick from Delcana, who's also a small business owner who owns a, correct me if I get this wrong, a hemp shop, a hemp smoke and vape shop.
And we have a hookah lounge.
And you have a hookah lounge.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't forget that.
Did
I didn't mention that before.
Yeah, right in the back. It's our little hangout spot. You know, fun little spot.
It's kind of a the shotgun of a
Come check it out. It's the coolest spot.
Now, tell me about it, though. Right? Tell me about it. What's it called?
Yeah, Puffster. We're Puffster. Right in downtown Dover. Awesome place, actually. Being downtown has been really great. We've been there not quite 2 years yet. And downtown Dover is really popping. It's been a fun place. I've lived in Dover now over 10 years, like right downtown as well. But, you know, this has been – it's been good. We get to, you know, have a great customers, have a good response, awesome crew there, and just bring a lot of cool products, showing people neat stuff. The hemp stuff is really – you know, that has been a huge market that's been taking over now because it allows people to get access to certain cannabis products.
Sure,
and
right,
then soon
right.
We'll be able to get others.
So we're asking you, would you like to see marijuana legalized in the state of Delaware? We're going to John on line one. John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Sam?
John. Doing all right. What do you think, John?
Well, I think it should be legal, but I think they need to figure out a way for it not to affect the medical marijuana patients. I mean, it's already a scarcity to try and get it. Yep. And also, I believe that you should be able to grow it, and especially medical marijuana patients and
right.
Nobody else.
Right.
I don't know how many times I've gone there and I can't get the medicine I need. And it's, you know.
Because there's a shortage of some kind.
Yeah, because they just don't have it.
That's right. Well, it's a very controlled system. They don't allow competition. And when that happens, you get poor choices, limited choice, and high prices, which is exactly what we have in the Delaware medical system today. And it's a shame. And they're not allowed to grow it. They'll be prosecuted and given felonies if they grow it. And if you grow it, not only that, but you also have your medical card stripped from you. So then they'll deny you your medicine. You know, it's a real shame, and that's one of the reasons we have the Cannabis Freedom Amendments that please contact your legislators, ask them to pass the Cannabis Freedom Amendments to HB 110. Those amendments protect the medical supply. The way HB 110 is written right now, it allows them to open the medical supply up in 30 days for recreational users, and it's already an inadequate supply. They're going to open it up to everyone and people out of state too. You know, you're going to have people crossing borders to come.
So
by.
You're saying that the current HB 110 would actually make life harder for patients like John?
That's right. And they say there's protections that the head of the department is will monitor it closely and cut off just for medical patients if the supply is too low. But that's just smoke and mirrors, and it's not right. So Sorry, go ahead, John.
What they're doing is they just want to, it's whoever has the most money that they're giving.
Yeah.
It's not going to help people of Delaware. It's not going to help local farmers the way it's written.
That's right. It's a scam. It's a scam, and it is completely written right now. The way it is written is to just help out a very select few, create a monopoly.
Right.
And at the expense of the regular people of Delaware. It says at our expense. We are the ones who are going to be paying out of pocket for this to enrich a few corporations and, leaving out businesses, leaving out farmers, all the people that could benefit economically from this instead are going to be left in the dust just because some people want to be greedy.
John, great call. Thank you. 302-839-1059 talk or text. Once again, we're on with Sam Chick from Delcana. We're on with Kate in Harrington. Kate, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. What do you think, Kate?
Well, I really want to see it legalized, but I understand what he's saying because I have a friend who's in the medical program, and she was real excited we were getting legalized because she has a greenhouse. And so she's like, great, maybe I can get a part of this. I can be in this program. But when you look at it, they're going to issue so few licenses, she'll never be able to afford
to get a license.
She'll never be one of the people who's going to qualify. She's got a small greenhouse. They're only given like 10 licenses for people her size.
That's right. It's very limited number of licenses. It's going to be arbitrary. You know, it's going to cut out so many people. I've had, just in the last few months, I've had three chicken farmers approach me asking about, hey, I want to kind of convert my old chicken house into a cannabis grow. I've had a florist approach me. They want to grow cannabis in their empty greenhouse. These people should have the opportunity to compete in this market to provide quality cannabis. It would not be fair if Billy Bob gets that $1 million golden ticket to grow it, and right next door, Mary Sue gets a felony for growing one plant. That's not fair. That's not equity. Mm-hmm. You know, let's fix this.
And even that's just weird. Like, when you say it that way, it just sounds weird. Kate, great call. Thank you. Yeah, I keep thinking, you know, Kate's friend could, like, do craft weed.
You know, like, right, exactly.
Craft sure. beer.
Yeah. There are a lot of people around who grow, you know, who are small organic vegetable growers. And they
sure.
provide, yeah, really. It's yeah. like you can have, just like we have all kinds of, you know, craft beer, a florist. You know, you're talking about people who have right. extremely strong horticulture skills and growing skills. You right. have nurseries. We have nurseries who can grow it and can say, hey, we have plants here at 3 weeks old in a pot. Take it home and you know, 3 months, 4 months, you'll have a cannabis plant.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity. Right. There's a lot of opportunity here. Eventually, restaurants will be able, just like they have alcohol, they'll be able to have cannabis on their menu. Wouldn't that be something? You go in and before you eat, you get a little THC appetizer to stimulate the appetite. And then maybe throughout the meal,
whoa.
You know, who knows? There's a
that
I'm just saying, they're doing it in Denver. You can go on tours in Denver and go to
that is a genius
like
idea
that.
For restaurants. Yeah. You're going to see that down in Rehoboth.
The beach, oh, they would make a killing. Are you
they
listening?
They would make a killing.
Rehoboth, you listening?
Whoa, actually.
Rehoboth restaurateurs?
No,
please.
Not just that. I mean, like, there was the woman from the, I forget her name, from the Rehoboth Beach Chamber of Commerce, the Rehoboth Dewey Chamber of Commerce. Think about it this way. Okay, so you own a restaurant. You put out, like you said, a THC appetizer beforehand. And do you know what that's going to do to your sales?
Oh my goodness!
Like
yeah.
you put it out like with the free dinner rolls, right?
Right.
Out ahead of time.
It's
like
in the butter.
You in
it's
there.
In the you know they
it's
have to warn
butter.
You, but it's free and it's in the butter.
Right. Oh. And so now you have the munchies, and
right, right.
And now
yeah.
here you are spending three times.
I
what
don't
you otherwise
recommend
would.
It if you're like a buffet. You know, like one of those seafood buffets.
No.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
That is less of a good idea. In fact, that's just going to raise your costs to the freaking roof. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get to more of your calls, your texts. We're on with Sam Chick from Delcana talking about marijuana legalization in the state of Delaware. My name's Rob Sussman. It's 839-1059.
He's a millennial. Try not to hold it against him. Rob Sussman on Delaware 105.9.
All right, 839-1059, talk or text. We are on with Sam Chick from Delcana, talking about marijuana legalization here in the state of Delaware. My name's Rob Sussman. We're going to go right to the phones and Mark in Lewis. Mark, hello.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good, good, good. Hey, I like everything the guest has to say. And, you know, I have a question for him that there's been so much resistance to. What are his thoughts about the argument that it's the gateway drug?
Oh, this is excellent.
I smoked marijuana for decades and I stopped, but every bad decision I made in my life was with alcohol.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
and that's just me, and that's, you know, me personally, but that's that. I hear that argument over and over, and it's, for me, it just doesn't carry any weight.
Without a doubt, Mark, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is the other thing that we hear so commonly, even on this show. We've heard it on this show. I know you listen, Mark. We've heard it from callers. We've heard it from guests. The gateway drug argument. I mean, what do you say to that, Sam?
So there's actually some studies out there on this, and that say, you know, of course you can get studies that say whatever you want, but this is actually, they're
exactly.
pretty good studies that say cannabis is not a gateway drug, and to the extent that there is such a thing as a gateway drug, then that would be tobacco and alcohol, because those are the first drugs that people try.
Right.
You know, that's inevitably tobacco, and you know, in I forget over 95% of cases, alcohol and tobacco are the first drugs people try. So
right.
if there's such a thing as gateway drug, then there they are. Now, there is such a thing. This is what I believe. This is how cannabis can be a gateway drug, because we have an illegal market right now. So you have to go to the black market to purchase cannabis, and while you're there, you get offered other things. There's no reason you would ever come into contact with that. If you were going into a legitimate business, you know, you go into an alcohol store, you do not get offered cocaine. But if you go see a drug dealer, you get offered all kinds of stuff. So that proximity, right. You know, that's which right. is a very interesting argument, and it's a very good reason why we need to legalize it and make a legitimate market. Because if we take one more avenue of funding out of gangs and criminals, that's a good thing, and we can reduce criminal activity in our state.
That's I like that. I like that because I've thought about that same thing too. Mark, a great call. Yeah, you know, it's sure, weed is one thing, but have you tried crack?
Right, exactly. You know, you're not gonna. Maybe the drug dealer tries to upsell you on crack, but the good, honest man at the liquor store, he's not going to do that. He'll maybe suggest a craft beer.
No, right. He's not going to say, you know, I got some great crack in the back of yeah, here. Yeah, no, I got to try some of that.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. And guess what? People who abuse it and think crazier stuff like that happens, it gets shut down very quickly.
Right.
And that's why we have a system that's controlled, because that's how we keep it out of the hands of kids, and that's how we make sure that, you know, it's the things that people are worried about.
And if the guy at the liquor store is trying to upsell you on crack, you can call the police. Like, that is is currently available here in the state, and it will be.
It's interesting that since all these Western states have legalized and some Eastern ones, the cartels have been taking a heavy hit in their funding. So the U.S. competition, cannabis competition, you know, still black market, but U.S. competition with cartels has helped fight the, you know, menace that's south of our border, which is very interesting and an awesome thing. It's
just going to have to go into meth then.
Well, they're already there. Yeah, right. They're already there.
They're thinking two steps
ahead. Yeah, they're competing against Afghanistan now and China. Yeah.
Right, for the opium. Yep. Absolutely, without a doubt. Ruben says, as far as I'm concerned, I cannot grow pot on my own. If I can't, it's not legal, and 110 is just a money grab by our beloved Delaware.
Well said, right on.
Says Ruben on the text line. Let's see. Tom says, Pete was a captain in the state police. I've asked my neighbors, and I consistently get a no to the legalization of pot. He says it stays in your system for weeks after using it. That means it's in your body while driving a vehicle, says Tom at 839-1059. And that's what he has to say.
Well, that's interesting. But, I mean, you can find – there's all kinds of drugs that you can take –
that are in your system.
Yeah, over the counter that you can find traces of. I mean, just because you took a medication that made you drowsy the night before, it's still in your system. Does that mean you shouldn't be able to drive in the morning because there are trace amounts in your system? That's – you know, people should be free. Most people are responsible, and they will make the right decisions. If they're just like when people are too drunk, they say, oh, no, I'm not going to drive. You know, I have another plan. Somebody's going to give me a ride home. I'm going to call an Uber, what have you. You know, a lot of people out there making a lot of responsible decisions. Let's trust our fellow people here, you know.
Shirley says, Rob, I smoked for 20-plus years. I quit because of my kids with no addiction problems, with no withdrawal problems, and no problems whatsoever. So I don't know what they're talking about when they say that you can get addicted, says Shirley. Now, you can form a habit with marijuana.
Right.
I mean, it is a habit. And,
Just like anything can be. You know, a lot of stuff can be habit forming. As far as chemically addictive, no. Just like what Shirley is talking about there, no. There's no chemical addiction in the way that nicotine does and makes you crave it. But, you know, the habitual and probably that feeling, you can crave it a little bit. But, you know, I had the same exact experience that Shirley had. You know, I have quit for reasons, employment reasons, and bam, done. And then, you know, hey, X amount of years later, okay, now I can do it again.
Speaking of the employment reasons, once again, we'll have Sam Chick from Delcana. What are you hearing from employers in terms of drug testing? If this thing were to become legal in the state of Delaware, would you still see a lot of businesses still saying, no, you have to get drug tested, and if you do test positive for marijuana, we're going to say, sorry, see ya, you're going to have to go apply somewhere else?
If I had to guess, within a few years, most businesses would not test and wouldn't care, just like they don't care how about people who use alcohol in their free time and when they're not at work.
Right.
You'll still have some that do, and I can understand. Like, for example, how Jerry called in, and he's talking about people who have concerns like machine shop owners or, you know, transportation companies, all these different, you know, there are legitimate concerns out there. And if that's the case, then, yeah, those places, you know, probably will still continue to test until they feel comfortable otherwise.
Right.
So certainly if you have a CDL, you know, that's federal. So if you have a CDL, you're a driver, of a commercial vehicle, then, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's not going to happen until the federal government does it because it's a requirement.
Steve in Maryland wants to know if you think marijuana could become Delaware's number one crop, replacing soy.
So I have a theory about this, okay? We used to have what we called in Delaware the four C's, okay? Chickens, cars, chemicals, and credit.
Okay.
Okay. Bank, that's banking C's. And credit. Those are the four C's. Right. We don't make cars here anymore, so let's replace that with cannabis. You're right, caller from Maryland. It can be a huge crop. We here in Delaware, we are actually, we have great farmland, and we are in a prime location right in the center of this huge metropolitan area that goes all the way from D.C. up to New York. Something like 75 million people within a couple hundred miles of us. Huge market, and they can all be enjoying Delaware cannabis. You know, that's something that Delaware farmers should really get on. We had the New York Farm Bureau last week came out and endorsed cannabis legalization because the same thing. They want to make sure New York farmers aren't left out of it. Delaware farmers should call the Delaware Farm Bureau. Ask them to support cannabis agriculture. This can be a huge cash crop. Everybody knows this thing is going to be legal federally. It's only a matter of time, 2 to 6 years. If we do it right and we have a free market system right now, we're going to build such a strong cannabis economy that when it does come across state lines, we're just going to crush it. And especially if we do it right now, you know, all these other states around us, they're not going to replicate. This is the advantage we have of being a small state. We can get a deal like this done where we have a very free cannabis program. You know, it's, we can really do it. We have a reputation for passing good laws. We passed the Financial Center Development Act in the 80s, which is a huge, you know, really set up our financial sector. We passed the incorporation laws in the 1890s. That sustains 25% of our budget today.
And you know, that's of a course, legacy. Is relied on by people from
that's right
all across Absolutely. All 50 states right. incorporating here in the state of Delaware.
That's right. Right. So let's make it one of the four C's. Let's make cannabis one of those four C's Delaware is known for.
Mary in Dagsboro says that your guest is over the top, Rob. People vacationing here are already leaving their brains at home. We don't need stoned people on the roads, says Mary in Dagsboro.
Well, Mary, there's I hate to tell you, a lot of your neighbors, a lot of your friends and people you know and professionals and good people in your community already use cannabis, and they're good people, and you really shouldn't be, you know, oppressing them is what it comes down to. This is America, this is freedom, and you know, people, this is why this thing is coming to a forefront, because people are ready for it. Okay, we've seen, we have the internet now. This is, we are in a new age, the information age, and we can look back at the decades and decades of lies and propaganda that are the only reason cannabis is illegal today.
Bill Dean says, as to the gateway drug in my lifetime, marijuana has never been legal. So anyone who's tried marijuana in the past 80 or so years, there's some misspellings in here I'm having a hard time with. He says cannabis didn't lead you to other drugs unless your desire was for an amphetamine or an opiate. They sell more than one kind of drug at the drugstore. There are different things that work for different people, says Bill Dean at 839-1059. Chuck in Ocean City, as an employer, we stopped pre-employment drug testing for THC because we had a hard time hiring people. We still test if there's an injury at the workplace. Says Chuck in Ocean City. Do you see that kind of being the future?
Yeah, sounds about right.
If there's some sort of accident, then you test.
Sounds about right. And especially if, like what Bunny was talking about, if they get some even better tests out. Now, there can be blood tests now that can give you active metabolites, but something like that, that'll really help with allay some of those concerns that people have.
Now, Sam, before we hit the 5 o'clock hour here, tell me a little bit about your business.
So it's Puffster in downtown Dover. So we sell all kinds of hemp and CBD products, have the biggest selection in the entire state and best prices. Come check it out. We also sell smoke and vaping stuff. We have a hookah lounge in the back, all kinds of cool stuff. And we're going to be at Firefly this weekend. We have a booth
there.
I have a bunch of Firefly.
I am
really stoked for that. Right. That's going to be fun. And hopefully we did June Jam, a festival last weekend, cool. And now we're doing Firefly. And it's just a lot of fun. This is a business my wife and I, we sold our house to finance this, and went out on a limb, and it's working. It's we're living the American dream. Trying
part of Delcana. He also owns Puffsters, as we just talked about. Sam, thank you so much for coming on my show today. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Rob. Please support the Cannabis Freedom Amendments. Contact your legislators. Support the Cannabis Freedom Amendments. Find more information at delcana.org.
All right. Thank you very much. When we come back, we're going to read a few last few texts on this marijuana issue, and then there's something else I want to talk about. It's about a young man by the name of Kyle Kashuv. He's 18, trying to go to college, trying to get into Harvard. Smart kid. We can't do that anymore because he said a bad thing a couple years back. My name is Rob Sussman, 839-1059.